abandon the world, to abandon the galaxy, to live out the rest of his life, in order to persuade him to rejoin the fight and help to save what's left of the resistance and overcome the First Order.
Well, I don't think there's a possible way to compare all the various reforms of the Force religion in Star Wars to all the various church councils over the years, but I think there are some, you know, ways to kind of look at different eras of how the Force was thought of, you know, the way it was thought of in the first episode four, and then, you know, through Return of the Jedi, and then the midichlorians introduced. You know, I'm wondering that if this is going to be kicking off with Rey meeting Luke Skywalker in a Jedi temple, if we're going to get some interesting takes on the Force.
There is more of the Force is certainly a bigger presence here than it was in Rogue One, where we didn't even have any Jedi. And Luke does a little bit of kind of introducing Rey to the concept of the Force and what it is and how it works. I would say that this is a film with more spiritual resonance than any of the Star Wars films, maybe going back to Return of the Jedi. But at the same time, it's a movie that perpetuates an idea that's kind of been present in a lot of the series from the beginning, which is that the whole idea of training and study, it seems to be somewhat overrated. Rey was already so powerful in the first film without any training at all. She could already take on Kylo Ren. And here, we do see the first Jedi temple and even the Jedi scriptures, and I'm not going to say what happens, but the movie doesn't really consider these to be very interesting or important. You actually commented on my review of the National Catholic Register. You said that it seems to be going in a spiritual but not religious vein, and that was exactly the phrase that occurred to me in the theater.
Well, okay, so I'm trying to think about how to phrase this properly, Stephen. For a generation of people who have always grown up knowing that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father, it's hard for people to realize how impactful Empire Strikes Back was in forming the way that second installments of a trilogy would go forevermore. Is that pressure felt at all by Rian Johnson in The Last Jedi?
Oh, it's definitely felt. And there have been a couple of fan theories online as to how this movie could... bold moves that this could make, akin to that moment, that collective moment in 1980 when we all gasped as we discovered the secret of Luke Skywalker's parentage. One of them has to do with Rey's fate, what will happen to her. One of them has to do with Luke's past. Both of those are present in the script in some way, but ultimately this is a much more conservative movie. It's a movie where I think you really feel the presence of corporate Disney kind of guiding the movie behind Rian Johnson. And this is not the movie made by somebody like George Lucas in 1980 who was willing to bust that bold move and then 3 years later do something almost as amazing by redeeming Darth Vader, that icon of ultimate evil. Whatever you have to say about George Lucas for all of his failures as a storyteller, the fact that he could make those kinds of bold calls was a credit to his vision, and it's not something Disney is willing to do in 2017.
All right, Stephen, finally, knowing you're speaking to somebody who's going to see this no matter what you say, and knowing that a lot of a listener base is going to see this no matter what you say, what's your recommendation?
I do recommend seeing it. I enjoyed The Last Jedi more than I didn't. I think it's people are responding a little too enthusiastically, and I think in the long run, 5 years hence, people are going to be much more aware of this movie's flaws and limitations, but there's a great scene at the end that's worth the price of admission just for that one scene, so yes, go see it.
All right, and if our listeners want to comment on your review after they see the film, because I know there's going to be a lot of back and forth on the internet, and I would love to see some of that happen more in your reviews. Where do we go?
Right now, my reviews at the National Catholic Register website, ntregister.com. It will be coming to decentfilms.com as soon as I have 15 minutes to put it up.
And I am the first comment on that post, Stephen. I am the first comment on your Star Wars review.
You are.
FYI. Yeah. I don't have much to brag about in this world, but that there's... No, but I commented on what I might think. I don't know. Back again on Monday. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.
Time and Temperature brought to you by Angel Army, provider of home care and companionship services. Your current Holy Spirit radio time is 6:57. The current temperature at our Doylestown studios is 13 degrees.
Are you looking for a positive and uplifting way to start your day? I'm Gary Zimek, and I invite you to join me every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. for Spirit in the Morning. I'll play music, read the daily gospel, and share the Be Not Afraid Bible verse with you. We might even talk about Scrappler, the Eagles. Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show, right here on Holy Spirit Radio. Start your day with a friend.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
On Monday, December 4th, Barbara Simmons and Gail Evans from the Peace Center in Langhorne will conduct a workshop focused on reducing violence in our communities. The presentation is sponsored by the Peace and Justice Ministries of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church in Doylestown. This workshop will take place at 7 p.m. in St. Mary's Hall on Maple Avenue in Doylestown. Refreshments will be served. For more information, please call Rosemary at 215-340-0238.
A Catechism Minute with Deacon Bill Jacobellis.
Mary kept all these things in her heart. During the years, Jesus remained hidden in the silence of an ordinary life. Number 534. Mary is a model for all Christians. Just as she spent her life in loving meditation of her son Jesus, so we should contemplate Christ and treasure the mysteries of his life in our hearts. The Rosary is an excellent aid to help us do so. Let us pray. Father, bring us to a greater appreciation for the gift of the Rosary, that we may use it to meditate more deeply on a life of Christ.
Brought to you by your friends at St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Richboro, Pennsylvania.
This is WISP Doylestown, Philadelphia, and WCOJ Coatesville, and we would like to wish the priests, staff, and parishioners of St. John of the Cross in Roslyn a happy and blessed feast day.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, step in on my way. Good morning. You give me strength to give me just what I need.
Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and it's a chilly Friday. We've got a great show for you in store. Tell you more about it after we pray. Let's pray now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of another day. Father, we ask you to help us to deal with the situations that we face today. Help us deal with all the challenges in our life, and help us to make the most of the remaining days of the Advent season so that we can grow closer to you. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for our government leaders. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the homebound. We pray for those who are suffering from illness. Father, we pray for those who are struggling to find you, maybe people who have drifted away. We ask you to continue to reach out to them and open their hearts so that they will be receptive to your word. And of course, we ask that you speak for us, through us, on the program today. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thanks for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. I am Gary Zimek. Today on the program, we're going to be joined by Dr. Peter Brown from the Catholic Distance University. We're going to be discussing Pope Francis's recent comments on the Our Father. Now, if you haven't heard about these, we'll talk about them in a few minutes. Some comments that the Pope made about the Our Father. We're going to check in with Dr. Brown, who is a biblical Greek expert. So he knows what the original biblical manuscripts really meant for the New Testament, specifically the words of the Lord's Prayer. Also, our friend Tony Rossi from the Christophers will be here. He's going to be sharing some thoughts with us. Okay, so we got lots of good things going on. Speaking of good things, by my side, as usual, Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary.
Dave Parker, how are you today?
I am well. I take exception to one word you used. You said it was chilly. It's darn cold.
Yeah.
Well,
wait
a minute.
But you're from Erie, and I understand you people had some snow yesterday.
Yeah, we did. I knew that they were predicting 5 to 8 inches of lake effect snow. Then you told me this morning they got hammered.
Yeah, and I don't know the totals, but it was a dusting of 2 feet.
Yeah, exactly, as we said. Exactly. So, yeah. The plow, they are hardy folks up there. They're used to it. They don't all like it, but. They're human. some are snow people. They go out, they snowboard, they cross-country ski, they downhill ski in western New York, and snowmobile. It's fun, but there's some people that just don't do that, and they hunker down. They hibernate.
I bet they do. You know, it's funny. When I was out in North Dakota giving a parish mission a few months ago, it gets ridiculous there, like minus 20, minus 30, and I said, what do you do? How do you deal with that in the winter? You know what they said? Right. Several people said, we don't go out.
Yeah, exactly.
We go out as little as possible, and we stay inside and keep the heat on.
So keep the heat on. They probably read a lot.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah,
no matter how tough you are, no matter how hard you are.
Well, let's leave it there.
Yeah, that's right. Frank Eliasson joins us as well.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, wasn't that nice?
Yeah,
I think that's a first, gentlemen.
I looked around. Good morning, Frank.
All right, Frank. Eagles are playing this weekend. New York Giants, what do you think?
Nick Foles at the helm.
You know what I saw driving up on the turnpike today? There was a billboard. I think it was sponsored by the Eagles. Nick Foles in a Santa cap. And it said, Saint Nick, we have faith in you. This could be the beginning of a great story.
Well, you know, he's had this story before, so let's see if he can pull it off again. Mm-hmm. He has the abilities. You know, this is a nice start off. You know, you're playing the New York Giants.
Yeah.
They're not a great team. I know they're a rival, but the fact is they are not a great team. So
This year.
Yeah. Yes. And so hopefully, you know, we'll be able to go out there, have a win. Mm-hmm. Hopefully no injuries. Mm-hmm. I think that's been obviously the big thing this year. And really start to build up that confidence, I think, and hopefully the confidence in the fans. I think the confidence in the fans is probably the bigger deal in this whole entire scenario.
Yeah. You're exactly right. And if we have a good game, I'm on the team. If Foles has a good game,
everybody's going to be like on the bandwagon.
Right, our
we're
Super Bowl.
Do it. The collective we.
Exactly.
It's going to be the complete opposite of last week. It'll be hysterical.
It should be.
You mentioned should someone get injured. I saw a piece on one of the local news sports casts last night. And about who would be the third? I mean, they're thinking.
Well, that's
what
I was thinking.
Who would be the next guy?
Do we know that answer?
Well, I think his last name was Sudfeld.
Yeah. I don't even know.
I forget. Yeah, we're in trouble if we get to the third-string quarterback.
But let's not go there.
If anything goes to Nick,
good, too. You know, he wouldn't be there if he weren't good.
Yeah, I don't have confidence in that one. I actually have confidence in Nick.
How about this? What if they do lose this week, Frank? It's going to be ugly around here.
Oh, yeah. We're done. It's a rebuilding. We have been rebuilding.
That's right.
You know what? It's a game, guys.
A game at a time.
It's a game. It's not that big of a deal. It's our escape. At the same time, would I love to see our Eagles have a Super Bowl? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it is a game. And, you know, right now, I think, you know, the confidence I have is for the long term, you know, with Wentz as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to be a really good quarterback going forward. So,
that's right.
You know, let's let him get healthy and, you know, let's give Nick a chance.
Yeah, pray. Yeah.
Exactly.
Prayers for Nick and prayers for Carson.
That's right.
Speedy recovery.
Carson said he appreciates everybody's prayers. Yes, apparently, he had his surgery yesterday.
Yes,
from what I saw, it went well. He's excited, and you know, Go Eagles, right?
Yeah, also on that newscast real fast, that sportscast, they said he was texting, but he was still a little loopy. But he was hungry. He wanted burgers or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
Wow.
All right,
gotta eat. Boys gotta eat.
Yeah, he doesn't have to watch the health as much right now in terms of he can put on a little weight.
That's
now.
Right. That's right.
You've earned it.
Let me take a look at the weather. Boys, this is not really good news, but let's get through it. Current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport, 25 degrees, overcast skies today. Oh, man. Snow likely, mainly after 4 p.m., mostly cloudy otherwise, with a high near 31. Tonight, a chance of snow.
I'll be at an outdoor mass.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be at St. Ignatius tonight for the outdoor mass. They're going to have, bring the live nativity and all that stuff.
Well, that's going to be...
That might be very picturesque.
It could.
You know?
Yeah, I think some emergency might have to happen at the station, and I'll have to be here.
It could happen.
I think I can get away with that since I just said it on the air.
Highly unlikely.
I don't know.
Good luck with
that. According to the National Weather Service, we're going to have a chance of snow also tonight, but mainly before 8 p.m.
So, Dale, I know you're listening. Can you give me an emergency call at about, 4:30, 5 o'clock? Of course, he's listening with my wife, so I think I'm in trouble.
That's true. So then it's going to be gradually clearing, low around 27. Saturday, increasing clouds with a high near 39. Now, check this out. In our we cover a great area here. Mm-hmm. Listen to some of these temperatures. In Lansdale, it's 14. In Birdsboro, it's 15, and in Gap, it's 15.
Wow. I had a cat from Birdsboro.
Did you really?
I did. I actually know where Birdsboro is.
Yeah, that's part of our WCOJ listening area.
That is correct.
We love you, Birdsboro listeners.
All right, before we run out of time, I want to read today's gospel, but I want to set up our first interview. Pope Francis really, once again, ruffled some feathers with some comments he made about the Lord's Prayer. There's an excellent article that Jimmy Akin wrote for the National Catholic Register. I have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. But to set this up, how did this all start? Well, Italian television aired an hour-long interview with Pope Francis in which he was asked about a new translation of the Lord's Prayer in France. So what did the French church do? They adopted a new translation of the Lord's Prayer for use in the liturgy. And basically what they did was they changed the line that in English reads, "And lead us not into temptation," to one that means, "Do not let us fall into temptation." Now, what did Pope Francis say about this? Pope Francis reportedly said the French have changed the text, and their translation says, "Don't let me fall into temptation. It's me who falls," and of course this is Pope Francis said this, "it's not him who pushes me into temptation as if I fell. A father doesn't do that. A father helps you to get up right away. The one who leads into temptation is Satan." That's what the Pope said. Now, Jimmy Akin answers the question. So he isn't about to impose a new translation on everybody? No. Commenting that a translation can be misleading is not the same thing as mandating a new one. People have grown up with the Lord's Prayer, and changing it is a big deal. Now, these are the words of Jimmy Akin at the National Catholic Register.
In response to reading that.
Right. So essentially, I'm glad that he cleared that up. And we're going to have Dr. Peter Brown's going to talk more about the original Greek for the Lord's Prayer when he comes on. But the Pope just made a comment that it's a misleading translation. I mean...
And he's right.
I happen to agree with that.
It is
confusing.
The challenge to it is our own comfort level because we know the prayer. Knowing that prayer and knowing how it's, we've said it this way all this time.
Right.
How can you change that?
Right.
The words do make sense to change. And the other piece to understand is it is a translation. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's a translation of a translation of a translation.
Sure. Things get lost
in translation
oftentimes.
And so, it's not changing the history long ago. It's basically going back. Let's re-look at the way we looked at those words. And you have to understand, when you're translating things, there's a lot of different contexts, and sometimes there's not words that even match, and there's a variety of issues that happen in translation. It's not a perfect science. So taking this time to look back at it is not a bad thing.
Right.
And that's not saying they may go back to it and say, you know what, it was translated right.
Right. And it's a great opportunity for teaching. It's a teaching moment
so we can
better understand what those words mean. So we'll talk more about that. Let me do the gospel. Again, this is one of those messages. It's short gospel today. One of those messages that Jesus is being very clear about Let me just read it. Matthew 11:16-19. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare this generation? It is like children who sit in marketplaces and call to one another, 'We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not mourn.'" And Jesus goes on to say, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by her works." This is an example of Jesus is giving two opposites and saying, we tend to find fault with everything, right? Our priest, oh, he preaches for too long. He preaches for too short. He's too strong. He's too weak. This Advent, let's try to be open to what the Lord is saying.
Exactly.
And not criticize
Stop
so much.
Stop looking at fault in others. Why don't you just try and look at ways to make yourself better?
Yeah.
Ultimately, in preparation for Jesus' coming, I think it's a good time to look inside ourselves.
Absolutely. And go to the source. Go to Jesus.
And give somebody the benefit of the doubt instead of trying to say, aha, he's not good. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
That's our positive intent. Human nature.
That's right. When we come back, Dr. Peter Brown will be talking about the Lord's Prayer. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 15th. Today we celebrate Blessed Mary Frances Xervier. She came from a family of some means, but Blessed Mary Frances Xervier spent her life serving God's poor, sick, and aged. Born in Germany in 1819, she ran the family household at age 16, following the death of her mother and her two older sisters. In her mid-20s, she became a secular Franciscan. At age 26, she and four companions established a religious community devoted to caring for the poor. The Sisters of the Poor of St. Francis were formally approved in 1851. In less than a decade, they had a foundation in the United States. Mother Frances, as she was called, first visited the U.S. in 1863, working alongside her sisters to nurse soldiers wounded in the Civil War. She returned a few years later to oversee the foundation of several hospitals. Her sisters continued to operate hospitals and homes for the aged around the world. In our day, and often throughout the ages, the sick, the poor, the aged, have often been regarded as useless members of society. Blessed Mary Frances and people motivated by her ideals remind us of the God-given dignity of every human being.
The new Saint of the Day app is available now for your smartphone or tablet. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
No matter the weather, you're always listening in the sun. It's a great day with Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
Down on us. Open up our eyes to see your glory found all around. Jesus, open up our eyes to see your glory all around. We are longing. Hope is dawning.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Aaron Schust with Hope is Dawning. Thanks so much for tuning into the program today. The time right now is 7:18. Now, as we were talking about in the previous segment, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, made some comments about the Our Father, suggesting that possibly the line, lead us not into temptation, can be a little confusing. Well, we have with us now Dr. Peter Brown. He's an academic dean at the Catholic Distance University. One of his areas of specialization is biblical languages, specifically biblical Greek. So we thought we would get Dr. Brown on the program to talk a little bit about the words of the Lord's Prayer and what they actually mean. Dr. Brown, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent to you as well. All right, Dr. Brown, a lot of controversy about the Holy Father's words. But before we get into exactly the translation from the Greek, for anybody who is not aware, why so often when we're reading or we hear a homily at Mass, we're reading a scripture passage, we hear, here's what the Greek means. Why is that? Why is that, and why is it important?
Well, good question, because the New Testament, as your listeners may know, or probably should know,
right,
was written originally in Greek, and that's really the oldest form of the words that Jesus left us, and the words that the Holy Spirit inspired when he, had the four evangelists write their Gospels, and St. Paul write his letters, and,
okay,
all the rest of the books that we see in both the New and the Old Testament, or, well, the New Testament anyway. excuse me, I'm getting over a cold here, but
oh boy.
This is the original language, and really, ever since the time of, the beginning of the church, and I would say, St. Jerome was one of the ones who kind of spearheaded this, we've always kind of grounded, vernacular translations with sort of constant reference to the original languages, just to sort of keep ourselves, anchored to what the, oldest form of the words that we have, preserved said.
Yeah.
So we've had many, many vernacular translations throughout history, the most famous one being Jerome's Latin Vulgate, but
right,
we always go back and check ourselves to what the original languages said, because, translations do drift, and theology kind of comes in, and there's, sometimes, there's sort of a new slant to words. Every time you translate a language from one language to another, new languages, new translations always both add meaning and subtract meaning. So
mm-hmm.
we want to kind of check ourselves and, keep ourselves sort of grounded in what the Holy Spirit left us specifically.
Right. Now, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, specifically paragraph 2846, we read this petition, and lead us not into temptation, goes to the root of the preceding ones, for our sins result from our consenting to temptation. We therefore ask our Father not to lead us in temptation. The Catechism goes on to say, it is difficult to translate the Greek verb used by a single English word. The Greek means both, do not allow us to enter into temptation, and do not let us yield to temptation. So, Dr. Brown, can you expand on that a little bit and talk about the translation that we use, and what is the Greek saying?
Well, the Greek is the term aspero, and so the word aspero in Greek actually doesn't mean, lead is even a little bit of a weak translation. Aspero literally means to bring in or to carry in. So the idea would be, and this is probably the original idea of the prayer, if you notice the context of the prayer is all about the kingdom coming.
Right.
The very first line is, thy kingdom come. Right? That's the heart of the prayer. That's the heart of the gospel message of Jesus, that the kingdom of God is coming. Mm-hmm. Right? He's always talking about the kingdom. And so it happens, though, that amidst this coming of the kingdom, there's going to be this time of trial, this time of suffering. And that's kind of what you want to avoid. Now, we can understand that suffering in many ways. We can understand it as being eschatological trials or tribulations, like we see in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
We could also understand it in maybe a secondary way, which is generally the way we do today, about our own trials in life, our own difficulties, and in particular, our own difficulties with sins. And that's I think, where the tension comes in, because it doesn't really make any sense theologically to say, God, don't bring us into temptation, don't carry us into temptation,
right,
because we know theologically God doesn't tempt anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the real problem is in some sense not the verb, but the object of which we're carrying into. That word temptation, which is peirasmos in the Greek, could mean trial or test, but it also could mean temptation, right? There's a kind of a range of meaning there, and when you slide it more closely to the meaning of temptation, struggling with sin, then we create sort of a tension with the verb that's given. So, you know, to make that consistent, you know, sometimes we'll translate the verb differently. And there's evidence in the early church that they tended to, you know, especially with the Western fathers, we tended to understand "do not bring me into" as "do not let me fall into," which is, you know, a way of sort of adapting that, you know, the original language to kind of what it probably should mean theologically for us.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Now, just your opinion, do you think that a new translation of the Lord's Prayer is a good idea?
Well, that's really in some ways a pastoral decision.
Right.
As a biblical scholar, you know, to be candid with you, if I were going to translate the Lord's Prayer just from, say, the version that we have in Matthew's Gospel or Luke's Gospel, it would sound a lot different, and that's simply because, you know, the Lord's Prayer, as you may know, that we're used to praying doesn't actually directly come from those Gospels, but it really comes from the Roman Missal. And when the Roman Missal is put together, there's a lot of considerations to theology, to tradition, to what people are used to. You know, you can't constantly change the words people are saying, because
right,
there's a it unsettles people too much. So there's sort of two different considerations. One, there's a consideration of like what a critical scholar would translate the Greek to mean today if those words were, you know, if what was being conveyed in the first century was being said today. And then there's a question of what, you know, we should be saying today in
mm-hmm.
church. And in some ways, those are two different considerations. If I were to translate today, a literal translation, there would probably be several differences. For one thing, you would, first of all, you'd have to decide whether you wanted to translate Matthew's version or Luke's version, right?
Right.
There are several, you know, translational decisions that, you know, you'd make. So a more literal translation, just in the line of forgive us our sins as we, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The word trespass there is probably more literally translated debt and debtor. So it would be more like, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, in an age of credit card debts and big mortgages and stuff like that, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing to have us say for maybe a few generations before we realize that maybe we probably shouldn't be borrowing so much money. But, So that would be, you know, one consideration. You know, I've always liked translating, you know, do not lead us to the test, or do not lead us to the final trial, because having students learn about first century, you know, eschatology and the way Jesus and his followers were thinking about the coming of the kingdom amidst great trial is a very sort of enriching kind of experience. And even if you sort of want to understand that today, as most people will, in terms of their own trials and tribulations and, you know, struggles with sin and that sort of thing,
yeah,
that's a really, really powerful, enriching way that people can sort of understand their own life in terms of the whole biblical story of the coming of the kingdom. And I think that's in some way, you know, one of the ways we can kind of refresh the church's understanding by you know, refreshing our translations mildly every now and again.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm not sure how I would translate. Those are probably some of the things I would see differently. And then the whole question of daily bread, that's a fascinating discussion as well.
And we're going to have to get you back on to talk about that because unfortunately we only have about 30 seconds. Dr. Brown, I love the discussion and I would love to have you back on because I think this is important to get into the biblical Greek. Before I let you go, though, can you just briefly tell us where we can find out more about Catholic Distance University?
Yeah, how about our website, www.cdu.edu.
Excellent, excellent, because I recommend that everybody listening check out the great work that takes place at Catholic Distance University.
Yep.
Dr. Brown.
In fact, we've got a course on biblical Greek coming up in early January.
Whoa, so, I might have to check into that myself. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay.
All right, God bless you, my friend. That's Dr. Peter Brown. When we come back, Tony Rossi will be here. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A Democratic senator taking part in talks on the GOP tax package says the repeal of the Johnson Amendment, which would allow churches to endorse political candidates and still keep their tax-free status, will not be in the bill. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden has released a statement announcing the decision by the House Senate committee that's blending the two separate tax bills into a final package. State attorneys general are now threatening lawsuits against the federal government's repeal of net neutrality rules. New York's attorney general says he'll lead a multi-state lawsuit to stop the Federal Communications Commission's rollback of rules which guaranteed equal access to the Internet. Democrat Eric Schneiderman has been investigating fake public comments submitted to the FCC during the net neutrality comment process. The Washington State Attorney General has vowed to do likewise. And an Australian inquiry into child abuse has recommended to the Catholic Church that the discipline of priestly celibacy be lifted and clarify the extent that the seal of the confessional applies to evidence of child abuse. Australia's Royal Commission into Institution Responses to Child Sexual Abuse today delivered its final 17-volume report and 189 recommendations following a wide-ranging investigation. Australia's longest-running Royal Commission, which is the country's highest form of inquiry, has been investigating since 2012 how the Catholic Church and other institutions responded to sexual abuse of children in Australia over 90 years. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. Alexander, "For the Lord incarnate was condemned in order to bestow mercy on us, bound in order to loose us, seized in order to free us. He suffered to heal our sufferings. He died to restore life to us. He was buried to raise us up again. One, in truth, was condemned. Thousands were set free. One was buried. Thousands rose again."
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
They journeyed far, a weary pair. They sought for shelter from the cold night air. Some place where she her made a quiet bed. Was there no room, no corner there? In all the town, a spot someone could spare. Was there no soul come to their aid? A stable bare was where the family stayed. Do you have room for a savior? And do you seek him anew? Have you a place for the one who lived and died for you? Are you as humble as a shepherd boy, or as wise as men of old?
Wasn't that nice? That was Do You Have Room by April Meserve. Do you have room to welcome Jesus? You know, Advent is all about preparing to welcome the Lord, and having that welcoming attitude can make a huge difference in all of our lives. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. We are joined now by Tony Rossi, who is the communication director for the Christophers. And he's also, I think he's a guy that's on this program. You hear him more than you hear me on the show. You hear him every day. Hey, Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Great to be with you again.
Great to be with you live. You know, we do hear you every day. And we thank you for those Christopher Minute segments that you do. They're powerful, brother.
Thank you. I'm glad to share some hope in the world, because I think we all need it, especially during this time of year.
Amen. Tony, let's talk a little bit more about this idea of having a welcoming attitude. You recently shared a story about this, and I'd like you to share it with us again, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. I recently interviewed a local nun from here in the New York area. Her name is Sister Ave Clark, because she wrote a book about a close friend of hers who passed away not too long ago.
Right.
His name was Arthur Morell, and he had the mental illness schizophrenia, but Sister Ave describes him as one of the gentlest, most generous, beautiful, saintly souls that she ever met.
Mm.
And that largely stemmed from his love for Jesus. And the story I really want to share is how he came to love Jesus, because mm-hmm. This, to me, was one of the most interesting parts of Arthur's story. It happened when he was a boy. He was born into a Jewish family in Brooklyn.
Right.
And one day, he was walking down a street, passing by a church, when the parish priest came out and invited Arthur and some other kids who were on the street that day into the church area because there was a carnival going on.
Yeah.
Now, the other boys went in right away, but Arthur just stood there and he said to the priest, "But I'm not Catholic." And the priest answered, "That doesn't matter. You just come on in. There's hot dogs and there's fun." Mm-hmm. And so Arthur went to the carnival. He had a great time. And he was really taken by that priest's welcoming attitude. And that stayed with him as he got older. And he would feel drawn to go into Catholic churches. And Sister Ave said that Arthur would love to sit in church quietly. He would look up at the cross and he would feel Jesus comforting him on his journey with his own cross. And while Arthur always loved his Jewish heritage, he eventually decided to convert to the Catholic faith.
Wow.
And the reason I love this story is that the seed for that conversion was something we might not even consider a form of evangelization. It was an invitation to eat hot dogs and have fun.
Yeah.
It was just a simple act of welcoming a stranger, and yet it had this huge impact that affected somebody's life in the long run. So in this time when we're all preparing to welcome the Christ child, I think it's important to remember that the small, seemingly insignificant act of kindness can have a long-term effect way beyond what we can even comprehend.
Tony, it's interesting. I was having this discussion with a pastor at a local parish yesterday about this very thing, and he said that oftentimes we are not, we don't have a welcoming attitude when we're maybe having a Bible study and inviting new people, and we might not even realize we're not welcoming people. Would you agree
yeah.
with that? Sometimes we don't even know that we're setting up boundaries or obstacles and not welcoming people as much as we should.
I do think it requires a bit of self-reflection because, you know, sometimes maybe we're just coasting along, doing things the way we're accustomed to. And
yeah.
especially if you're in a church in a Bible study, maybe you know the parishioners there. So, you know, you can kind of, you automatically know them. So maybe you're not even thinking of welcoming new people. But if that new person shows up, you need to kind of do that extra bit of reaching out because it does make a difference. I mean, I'm reminded of Dean Koontz, the best-selling author, who's
right.
also a convert to the Catholic faith. I know he said that one of the things that drew him to the faith in the long run was the intellectual rigor of Catholic writing, of the saints and the church fathers and all that. But initially, it was the good example of his wife's family and the kindness they displayed toward him and toward each other. So, again, that first step of welcoming and kindness is so crucial that, and I think it's so simple that we can sometimes overlook it and see, you know, forget how important that it really is.
Yeah, and that's what I love about the work of the Christophers. You remind us of the simple things, you know, that we can do something, because I think it's easy to get overwhelmed and look at the world and we say, you know what, one person, I'm not going to make a difference. But yet your entire message is that, yes, you can make a difference.
Yeah, and it's just really a lot of it is in the ordinary way we live our lives. Again, like the priest I mentioned, Arthur's story, he was just going out and inviting people to a carnival. I don't, you know, he wasn't
wow.
looking to make some kind of difference or plant a seed for
yeah.
a conversion in that moment, but it just turned out that way because, you know, we never know where these seeds, how these seeds will develop once they're planted.
Exactly. Now, Tony, we just have maybe about a little over a week left until Christmas time. Any last-minute
mm-hmm.
advice for making the most of Advent?
Well, I would say the one thing is to slow down and look at the people around you. Because, you know, mm. when I was younger, obviously, I was focused on a little more the gifts that I would be getting,
yeah.
the Star Wars figures and the Atari. But, you know, now that I'm pushing 50, it's more I look back at those days and I remember the family members, my grandparents and us going to church together.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have my parents with me, but they all have their health issues. So.
Right.
To me, it's really forced me to really look more deeply and appreciate the people around me. It's not so much about the gifts anymore. And I mean, I've actually taken more pleasure in giving than receiving in my later years too. But I would say just look around you, realize how maybe you can be Jesus's love, represent Jesus's love to someone else in your life, to your family members, to your friends. Just be there for them. Maybe if you don't see them a lot, have that welcoming attitude we're talking about. Reach out because it could really make a difference. And maybe if there's people around you who are lonely and alone, seniors or other people, reach out to them too because it's especially important this time of year. And, you know, maybe you'll carry that relationship even beyond Christmas, which would be great if Christmas You know, we don't just do it for the day. We do it for the whole year and the way we live our lives.
Exactly. Boy, that's such an important message. But it's a tough one last week before Christmas, and you're saying slow down. But you know what? That's what we need to do. We do need to slow down and make some time for the Lord and to look around us. And as you said, to bring the love of Christ to those around us. Because, Tony, you know as well as I do, there are a lot of people who are hurting out there right now.
Oh, absolutely. They're struggling. I mean, we get, little notes at the Christophers all the time.
Right.
Especially, that's why I brought up the seniors from Senior Citizen, saying that they're feeling lonely and such. So there is a lot of struggle and loneliness out there.
Could you, since you're with us and we love the fact you're here live, could you talk a little bit about the Christophers in case somebody's listening and doesn't know about all of your resources?
Sure. The Christophers, we were founded by Father James Keller in the mid-40s, and his goal, originally he wanted to be a missionary overseas, but he saw that the United States was in need of some missionary work themselves.
Yeah.
So he created this media ministry, essentially, that shares the ideal that it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness, to encourage people to put our faith into action, that it's not just one or the other. It's about faith and action together. And we have our Christopher News Notes that share that message. We have our Christopher Minutes that you share on your radio show,
right.
Christopher Close-Up Radio Show, a 3 minutes a day book. So, I mean, if you go to Christophers.org, you can find out a lot about all our different ministries. But we have a lot of messages out there that we love to share with people and that we also get good feedback on.
Yeah, and we're going to link Christophers.org at SpiritInTheMorning.com. Tony, is your new 3 Minutes a Day book available yet, the 2018 version?
It is. Volume 52 is now available. And,
wow.
Yeah, it's full of stories and daily reflections for each day of the year. And you know, some of them are Advent and Christmas themed for that season, and we try to time the different stories to the different holidays each year. But a lot of work went into that. I was thinking of Christmas stories in the middle of July when I was editing that book and writing. So this is just Christmas is just an ongoing thing for me.
Yeah, and I love the 3 Minutes a Day books because I've got several of them myself. It's something that anybody can do. You know, we're all too busy. We hear this all the time. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to spend time with the Lord. But everybody's got 3 minutes a day.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we do is some of the stories are overtly Catholic, overtly Christian, but some of the stories are secular, and we tie it into a message from the Bible with a Bible quote at the end and a little prayer. So, because that's how we, essentially that's our worldview, is that we can see the good, the divine, and truth, beauty of secular nature or a religious nature, too.
All right. Tony Rossi, thank you for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Before I let you go, brother, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
You're in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Philadelphia.
Okay.
The Eagles are playing the Giants this weekend. Do you have a prediction?
Oh, gosh. I wish I could say something positive, but maybe this will be the Giants' week to turn things around, but I'm not going to wager any money on it.
So. Oh, man. Hey, Tony, thanks so much for all that you do, brother, and have a blessed remainder of Advent and a Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Gary, and to all your listeners. Thanks so much for having me on again.
All right. Tony Rossi from the Christophers. How about that, Dave Parker? I put him on the spot there.
Yeah, you did. I love his comeback. he's a regular guy, too, but he's so inspiring.
He's
too.
A good guy. You know,
oh,
and,
very
and the
good
Christophers,
guy.
The
yes.
organization founded by Father Keller, they're all about making a difference. And the message is one person can make a difference.
Exactly. As he said, He back in July, he was thinking of about the Christmas season, the Advent season, and stories. But then Christmas can be every day, all year, you know, be welcoming to people.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I love that. I love today's segment.
Yeah,
very really
simple message. And really, the name Christopher means light bearer.
Exactly.
We're all called to be lights shining in the darkness. So how can you do that for somebody today? Look around. You're going to see people who need the love of Christ in their lives. Not everybody knows Jesus.
Yeah. Let's all be Christopher today.
There you go.
And through the rest of Advent.
When we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for. Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The Zac Brown Band has won numerous Grammy and other music awards, but the lead singer's dedication to children with special needs is worthy of accolades too. Zac has been using proceeds from his concerts to build Camp Southern Ground in Peachtree City, Georgia, for children with autism and other special needs. He says, "As a former camp counselor, I know how a positive camp experience can transform a child's life. My dream is that children of all abilities will have an opportunity to experience the magic of the outdoors." Zac is also teaching attendees the camp's mantra, "On this southern ground, we will meet new friends, learn new things, and treat everyone with love and respect." Come to think of it, that's a pretty good mantra for all of us. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. For the mirrors that struggling just to hang on, they've lost all of their faith and love, and they've done all they can to make it right again. Still it's not enough. The children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Third Day with Cry Out to Jesus. Okay, here's your Be Not Afraid Bible verse for today. It comes from Luke 1:30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." The reason I highlighted this verse and I included it in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, is sometimes we get hung up on fear. The Blessed Mother was afraid. It's very clear in Scripture. Fear is an emotion. Mary was sinless, conceived without original sin, but she still experienced that human emotion of fear. So, therefore, do not be afraid to be afraid. It's okay. It's what you do with that fear that matters. Jesus is always there for you. Now, with that in mind, I have a tweet from Pope Francis, just came out a few minutes ago. Here's what our Holy Father says today. Even if there were no one else left to remember us, Jesus would always be there at our side. Dave Parker, Frank Eliason.
Yes, he is.
What a powerful message.
Yes, he's always with us.
But again, like Tony Rossi and I just discussed in that last interview, it's such a basic concept, Jesus is always there, that it's easy to forget.
Absolutely.
As we get overwhelmed.
Yeah, we have to be careful not to take him for granted. He's there. And we go about our business, and then we do forget.
You try and tell people every day at the end of the show.
That's
right. He's right there with you. Just turn around and say hi.
And we forget so many times, and that's why we panic, because we forget. So in my own life, I need to remind myself every day that he's there with us. And, you know, Advent gives us that special opportunity to really focus on his presence, because there's so many activities going on at local parishes, at your local parish. I'm sure that can help you to remember that Christ is always with you. Frank, you have an event tonight.
Yeah, tonight in the snow, you know, over at St. Ignatius of Antioch in Yardley. They're going to have a mass, and they'll have live nativity. Or at least the animals. I don't know how much of the efforts they'll have with this, but it should be quite interesting. It's being put on by their youth group, and Father Anthony there. He was actually on Connected in the Spirit talking about it. You know, but it should be a good event. Yeah. So if you're around tonight at 7 o'clock, join us over at St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Are there any cows involved in that?
Did you hear about the cow that escaped from the live nativity twice?
Down in Center City?
I did not hear about that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and she got replaced.
They called her daughter.
It was so
Maybe
funny.
Maybe they brought the cow here.
It was so funny. I think the cow got out two times. They said, that's it. Time to get a new cow.
Yeah, really. And they brought in Ginger.
It's a true story.
Ginger Herbert.
Who was the first one? Do you remember that?
I'll look it up real quick. I don't know if I have time, but
funny story. And so the cow was wandering the streets of Center City.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was.
You don't see that very often.
No, you don't.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway,
and then basically got replaced by. I didn't realize that they had like tears and like. All right, you're happy second tier.
They went through the bovine union. they revoked her license. You know?
Oh man, that's good stuff. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So some good stuff that's going on around the diocese, cows wandering the streets. By the way, next week on Spirit of the Morning, we're going to be joined on Monday by Marge Fenelon, who's going to give us a last-minute pep talk, because we only have 1 week until Christmas. The last week of Advent, what can we do? Marge is going to be with us. Also, our friend Chris Stepien will be here. Tuesday, Dr. John Bergsma, Sherry Waddell, talking about forming intentional disciples. Tom Corcoran on Wednesday is an author, co-author of the book Rebuilt. Father Thomas Daly on Wednesday as well. On Thursday, live in the studio. Don't worry about it. Marty Rotella is going to be here.
Oh, can't wait to see Marty.
That's right.
Hopefully
that's
we see him with an Eagles win. Although he's a Jets fan, if I remember correctly.
He is. I thought he was a Giants fan.
Is he a Giants fan? He might be a Giants fan.
This could get ugly.
That's right. My memory was a little off. I think you're right.
I'm not sure. We'll have to check on this before
we
let him in.
We have to put on the armor of God in this interview. Especially talk football.
And Tony Rossi told us to be welcoming, so we'll have to welcome
him in, but we'll convince him to be an Eagles fan.
And on Friday,
the Giants season's been, he's probably already an Eagles fan.
On Friday, we'll be joined by Bobby Schindler and Lisa Hendy. So it's a busy week on Spirit of the Morning. Any big plans for the weekend, guys?
Mass tonight at 7 o'clock, and, you know, we'll see. I'm waiting for two more wires to be run here. If they do, you may come in for a surprise on Monday.
All right, awesome. St. Francis Cabrini Men's Prayer Group tomorrow, 7 a.m. sharp. Be there about 10 of.
Anybody, any man is welcome?
Oh yeah, any man is welcome. Okay. Absolutely. If you're in the sound of our voice and you want to,
awesome.
And you're in the area, and it's not snowing, come join us.
How does that
even
work?
If it is snowing.
How does that work? What's the schedule?
Well, okay, 7 o'clock we come in, and then we go around the group, and we say we each offer a prayer, whatever's on our heart,
mm-hmm.
our hearts collectively, and then we get centered with music, and then we do the rosary. We do five decades of the rosary.
That's awesome.
And all that. So I mean, I don't want to run out of time, but yes, it's very enriching and it's very humbling and it's so uplifting. We come out of there, you know. I mean, with truly focused,
awesome.
Especially in Advent.
I was going to say, you know, one of the things, whether you're doing a group like that or. Robin and her grandfather the other day went to the shrine in Czestochowa, went around the shrine, did decades all along, different spots.
Isn't that nice?
And so came back. Robin has been talking about it ever since.
Wow. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Well,
absolutely.
I hear the music. That means it's time for us to get out of here. Thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. Check us out at spiritinthemorning.com.
Be safe.
And remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.